Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into the morning show here. I appreciate that. Appreciate the fact that you're here. It's been fun listening to Kim and Carl go at it this morning over the Blues. The Blues are out of the playoffs, right?
Yes, as of Friday night.
Mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So that is probably the biggest news of the sports weekend, wouldn't you say?
Well, I would say so.
Other than the Masters, maybe?
Yep, I actually did watch the Masters yesterday.
No, City won a game. that's
wow.
Impressive, too.
That's
and the Battle Hawks actually won as well.
Oh,
but
nice.
Let's be real. People are talking about the fact that the Blues aren't in the playoffs.
Right.
Except
that's the big news.
They won yesterday. That was a thing, too.
You know what, Blues? Congratulations on your win yesterday. I am so sorry, but what people are talking about today is the fact that for the second straight season, you are not in the playoffs.
Well, you can brag about yesterday's win on the golf course tomorrow if you're a Blues player.
No, there's still a game on
Wednesday. One game left. But it does improve the odds that Carl Middleman will show up at the Bourbon Spring Fling on Thursday night.
Yes.
All right. Glad to hear that. Probably still tickets available, 971talk.com. Just go in there and you'll see the Bourbon Spring Fling. We're going to hang out, drink some bourbon, wine. There'll be wine there if you're not a bourbon fan. Kim and I'll be there. Now it looks like Carl Middleman will be there.
Bringing guests.
Blues season is officially over. Well done, Kim.
Don't forget about that win yesterday, Mark.
There was a win yesterday.
And they
had to point out.
On national television.
I got a win yesterday. Can I tell you? I got to meet Aaron Hagar, Sammy Hagar's son. Was in town yesterday. It was pretty cool. It was out at the Funny Bone in St. Charles.
And?
The local rock station sponsored it, and that was pretty cool. He sang. He got up on stage with my friends from Divine Sorrow, and he sang several of his dad's songs. Sounded really good. He sounded like his dad 25 years ago.
Did you tell him that you're one of his dad's biggest fans?
I wore my Sammy Hagar shirt.
I saw that in the picture
I did.
Sent us.
He was very, just one of the most down-to-earth people that you could ever imagine. Very self-deprecating in his comments and just somebody you could sit down and have a beer with. I mean, it wasn't pretentious at all. His dad's one of the biggest rock stars in the world, name-wise anyway, name recognition-wise. And the title of his show was "He's Just Dad," and he stood up on stage with a microphone and talked about growing up. For 15 years, he was Hagar's only child, and then others came along. Hagar got divorced from his mother, married somebody else, had a couple of younger children. But it was pretty cool to hear him talk about being on the road with Montrose and Van Halen and all that stuff.
I think that's what's really cool is when you meet somebody famous in this case, and they're actually just down to earth and relatable. I think that's so sad when you've grown up watching someone on TV and you're all excited to meet them and you finally do, and it's like, oh, and it just kind of ruins it for you.
And they're just a complete jerk.
Don't they say you have to be careful meeting the person you look, or not look up to, but the person, the star that you love the most? They always warn you
probably.
Against meeting them. I forget the phrase that they say.
Don't meet your heroes.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Could be. Did you meet anyone like that that's disappointed you in person?
Not that I can think of right now, per se. I did.
Yeah.
I was not like some huge Susan Sarandon fan, but I remember interviewing her for a story when I lived in Des Moines, and she was there campaigning for Bernie Sanders.
Oh.
And I would have been pretty liberal at that point.
Yeah.
But very just kind of to herself and not, you know, nice, but not super friendly. And kind of like what she portrayed in Stepmom, that movie, if you ever saw that. I don't know. Maybe that's a chick flick.
Chick flick.
Probably.
Didn't see that one. I didn't catch that one.
Oddly it's a good one.
That's good. So probably the person that, and he's not like a major movie star or anything. He's a network news guy. But probably the guy, the person that surprised me the most was Bill O'Reilly.
Really?
I had to interview him. Well, he used to do Inside Edition or whatever it's called. And we ran it on Channel 4. And they made me do a satellite interview with him one time to air like the next morning or something. I don't know what it was. And I think he was very unhappy in his job right about then. He hadn't started the O'Reilly Factor or anything yet. And I'm just trying to ask general questions about the upcoming season of his show and what they're, and he was just giving me one word answers and he was just a bit of a jerk.
Mm.
Yeah.
Doesn't he realize that was his job to do an interview?
Well, that was my thought at the time, but those things just kind of stick with you. Maybe he's not like that. Maybe he was just having a bad day. The lady, Carl, you'll know her name immediately, who played the mom and Everybody Loves Raymond.
Patricia Heaton.
Not the wife.
Oh, Doris Roberts.
Doris Roberts.
I know who you're talking about.
She was testy in an interview with me one time, too. Yeah.
That would make my parents sad. They love that show.
I know. She's so funny.
Yeah,
and she's
hilarious.
Clearly did not want to be doing that satellite interview they booked for her. Because I expected, you know, hilarity to ensue. And that,
Christmas
that was
vacation.
Not really?
Case. Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah. She was great. Generally speaking, just not in that interview with me. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the common
denominator. Maybe you are the common thread here, Mark. We're starting to see a pattern. Is there anyone else you'd like to disclose
who was a little testy with you? I'll keep the rest of them to myself. Probably the person that I enjoyed the most getting to interview one time was Barbara Bush.
That'd be cool.
I got to interview her in Dayton, Ohio when George H.W. was running for president. And I felt like I was sitting there with my grandmother. I mean, it was the most sincere, kind of down to earth. How are you? You just felt like you knew her. It was weird. It was very nice. All right. Enough going down memory lane there. I thought that was interesting though. Coming up, we got a great show for you. We got Hans von Spakovsky. If you were listening to the Gordon Deal show coming into this, you heard them talk about the fact that something historic is going to happen today. For the first time ever, a former president is going to be sitting in on a criminal trial, which, of course, is a complete sham. Can we just say that with a straight face and not have to report this like it's something serious? It's a sham. It's a setup. Nobody should ever be in court for this. The statute of limitations had already expired on this case, even if there was a case, and nobody ever brought it before. So they're having to jump through hoops to make this happen today. We'll talk to Hans about that coming up about 6:20. A little later, we're hoping to check in with Trey Yangst. He's over in Israel, where the Iranians and the Israelis may be about to get in a shooting war. No thanks to Joe Biden, whose only answer is don't. Didn't seem to accomplish anything this weekend, from what I can tell. We'll get to all that and more for you. Carl, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We understand you're exercising a right to free speech. Okay, you go to Gaza right now and you chant death to Hamas. See how many seconds you live.
I like that better. I think I'm going to start pronouncing it Hamas. It sounds better. How about that? Piers Morgan there spreading a little bit of truth this weekend to all those silly protesters out there.
It's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that.
How about that, man? He's back from his stroke better than ever. John Fetterman, who sounds more and more like a Republican every time he opens his mouth.
He's 100% with me, and he said, we'll get this job done. That's a distraction. What Marjorie's done with the motion to vacate is not helpful.
Yeah, Mike Johnson trying to hold on to his job and claiming that 100% support from Donald Trump should accomplish that.
With all of the things they did, with millions of pages of study, they found nothing, which makes me perhaps the most honest guy almost in the world, I think.
There you go. Donald Trump out this weekend talking about the repeated attempts by the left to find him guilty of something. I don't know. Crossing the road illegally in New York 20 years ago. They're going to charge him with that next.
Littering. He threw down that wrapper, I think, back in like 1975.
Probably a Big Mac wrapper or something. Because he loves
the gum wrapper, I think it was.
Yeah, the insanity continues in D.C. today. And I mentioned we'll talk to Hans about that coming up just a little bit later. But just on its face, you don't have to be an attorney to realize how ridiculous these charges are that Alvin Bragg has dug up that are, you know, 20 years. How old are they? 10 years old, at least. Anyway, in New York, the statute of limitations had already expired. This is what Jonathan Turley had to say about this case last night.
Yeah, everything about this case is, in my view, legally absurd. You know, this case is basically a state misdemeanor that had run out on the statute of limitations. And Bragg was forced, after he declined for a long time to bring this charge, to do so. His predecessor rejected it. And so they took a dead misdemeanor and bootstrapped it into effectively trying a federal crime. But the federal crime here under election law was rejected by the Department of Justice. They didn't feel that this should be charged. So you have this crazy case that's going to go forward, and it's going to turn on the testimony of people like Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen just recently had a judge call him a serial perjurer.
Wow.
And he's going to appear as the center of this case.
Yeah, a serial perjurer will be the key testimony against Donald Trump in this Stormy Daniels case today. I refuse to call it what everybody else calls it about the money because there's no there. It's just not. But you want to talk about that? Let's talk about the $700,000 payment Bill Clinton had to pay to Paula Jones to get her to shut the hell up about what he did to her. Was he ever charged in that case? No. I mean, this is complete nonsense is what it is. All right. Still plenty to get to. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back right after our national anthem.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Mr. President, to Iran in this moment.
Don't.
Honestly. That was before Iran fired 300 cruise missiles, drones, whatever the hell they put up in the air, toward Israel. And his firm message to them was, don't.
I mean, when I hear him say such a strong and powerful, threatening message, I'm shaking. I am sure all the people over in Iran heard Biden say, don't.
Well,
and they were freaking out.
And here's the thing that people need to understand about this. The message to Iran should have been, if you attack Israel, we will come at you with everything in the United States arsenal. And that would have shut this down immediately because Iran wouldn't risk that. But instead, we gave a half-hearted, you better not, and they fired him anyway. Now, a couple things you need to understand here from perspective. Iran cares about one thing, and that is saving face with the people in Iran. So on the state media in Iran, all they showed were 300 missiles being fired at Israel. They didn't show the fact that they all got shot down. All they're trying to do is protect what they have at home because they don't want a revolution, right? And then they announced to the UN, well, we consider this matter concluded. I mean, seriously, well, no, you don't. Imagine if we had gone to Ukraine after Russia invaded them and said, we don't want you to retaliate. What if we? How outrageous does that sound? If after 9/11, Britain had come to the United States and said, Tony Blair would have said, we really don't want you to retaliate. What do you think the reaction would have been by the American people? Imagine living in Israel and being told by your closest ally, I know somebody just lobbed 300 missiles at you, but we really don't want you to retaliate. We want you to turn the other cheek. This is the most glaring example of weakness that the United States might have ever shown, short of allowing Russia to take over Crimea under the Biden administration. All you're doing is going to embolden your enemies when you do this. Iran has no fear of repercussions if Israel doesn't strike back in some manner. And bigly. They need to strike back bigly so that Iran knows the next time you do this, you will incur the wrath of us and the United States. Because there's no way the United States would avoid defending Israel in the event that Iran did something really stupid. So what an embarrassing weekend for the United States of America. It really is. You need to hear what Joe Biden said about it just a couple years ago in 2020. I'm going to get to that coming up. But next, we'll get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
You know, I think one of the hardest things to do, if your eyes are opened and you see the corruption and the hypocrisy going on right now in culture, is to talk to somebody who does not have their eyes open at all and just can't see it. No matter how many times you try to explain it to that person, you can't possibly understand or get through what you're trying to tell them. And staying calm is really an art. In fact, when you were talking at Grace Church last week, somebody asked you a question that I think a lot of people could relate to, and that is when you're trying to have a conversation about, say, a difficult topic, a controversial topic, let's just use abortion for an example. How do you keep your cool? What's the most effective way to have that type of conversation with somebody? Because I think once you start yelling, you've lost. You feel like you're in power. You feel like you're winning. In my opinion, you've lost the debate if you have to lose your cool like that.
I would agree. The key is to strike first. Throat punch them so they can't talk back, and then explain to them what's going on.
Okay. So is everyone listening to that? Mark Cox officially says to throat punch. That is the advice. I would say drop kick. I'm surprised you went with throat punch first.
Well, it just eliminates the voice problem.
Okay,
immediately.
I get
you
that.
Get that out of the way, and then you can talk to them, and they have to listen because they can't speak back. I'm teasing. That was a joke, if I have to say that.
I say drop kick. I am not kidding, you guys. I think drop kick.
That was not my advice.
I'm kidding, too.
It was not my advice.
I think, and I know your answer to that question, which I thought was good, was if you know your facts, you don't have to yell. You don't feel the need to raise your voice or get intense. You have the facts to back up your argument. And I agree. But I feel like I'm one of those people where I will read all this information about a particular topic, and for whatever reason, my brain cannot retain it like I wish it could. So when you're in the heat of that type of discussion, you're like, come on, brain, pull up the information that I know. But in that moment, I can't seem to bring it up. I think what's been the most effective for me is asking questions. Like I said, when I was confronted by that guy trying to get me to sign that abortion initiative petition, and he said, well, I said, I'm pro-life. Can I ask why you support abortion? And he said, well, have you ever adopted or fostered a kid? And instead of me just yelling back at him, and I said, why are you asking me that question? Like, what? How is that relevant? And I said it very calmly, and he completely was thrown off by that. And he's like, well, like, he did that thing where he was like backpedaling. But I think that's one of the hardest things. In fact, over the weekend, I posted something that my old station in Des Moines, KCCI, had put out on its website. And it was this ridiculous headline that just, I had to post it. And it was just showing their bias, the local news and the way that they phrase things that they don't even realize shows where they slant. And the headline said, Iowa organization celebrates, it says, Iowa organization celebrates the empowerment of girls and women. But then you look up top, and what KCCI added was, since 1978, YWRC has helped people who identify as a girl between ages 10 to 24. And I posted that, and somebody I used to work with in Nashville, who is still in media, by the way, posted some comment like, wow, what a ridiculous thing to get it riled up about. Easiest unfollow ever. So she unfollowed me and then defriended me.
She's unhappy because you pointed out that it was silly for them to cover that story. That was it, a picture of like 10 former men who became women, and wasn't that what it was?
I don't even remember.
I mean, there was a lot of mental illness in that picture.
A
lot.
You know, it's funny because it's like your natural reaction when someone says something like that to you is you just want to snap back. You want to say something snarky. You want to have the punchline. You want to have a conversation with them and be understood. And I think that, again, is the hardest thing to do. And actually, I was sitting in church yesterday and they were kind of hitting on this, and it was super convicting, just talking about the importance of being meek, of being humble, and that when others mess up, you want to be gentle. When others disagree, you want to be kind.
But
when others hurt you, be forgiving. I think that's really hard, but I think, seriously, like, I'm not, then that does not mean, by the way, that you just sit there and take it. That doesn't mean that someone shouting at you and that you're just like, okay, hi, love you. Like, that doesn't mean that. But it also means that you can choose how you want to respond, and you just screaming back at somebody and name-calling and doing all of these things is not effective.
Well, this is where the left loves this. How many people have you unfriended because you disagreed with their point of view online?
I don't think I've unfriended anybody. I may have unfollowed five or fewer people.
Like, if somebody has attacked me personally, who I felt was a friend, I'm probably going to unfollow them because I don't need that. But if you just have the ability, if you just, by doing that out of anger, you do it, you just eliminate the possibility of a conversation about it, right? So in other words, the person that defriended you over that post didn't want to have any further conversation with you about that because they're unsure of their position other than the fact that they're convinced they're right, right? She didn't want to any feedback from you on it. She defriended you, so you can now not go and address whatever her issue was with that picture.
I think she's just so passionate about it. I think that's what I see a lot of, is that the my friends who are very liberal can say whatever they want, and it, like, I might look at the post and think, well, that's ridiculous, but I'm certainly not going to like snap back at them or defriend them over it. But oh my gosh, if you say anything that supports conservative values, people are just so up in arms. I have had quote unquote friends who have just reamed me for it. I mean, really thrown some fire-breathing dragon style at me. It's just very interesting. The like I said in church yesterday, they were saying options for a disagreement: be passive and let them have their way, which they're saying is not, you don't have to just sit there and do that. You can fight, get angry, or be sarcastic, which my go-to is I tend to want to be sarcastic. Or you can respond in love with a gentle answer. And that doesn't mean everyone has to hold hands and sing kumbaya together in a circle. But I just think that when you're disagreeing about a particular topic, like, say, abortion, you going on Facebook with that person and just shouting responses back like so many people do. I see it all the time on Twitter, all the time on Facebook. Seriously, ask yourself if you're one of those people doing that, or you've ever had that happen to you. Have you ever changed your mind on that particular topic based on that conversation? No.
No.
No. In fact, if anything, it angers you in most cases even more. It might push you even more in the opposite direction. So I just, I'm telling this to myself because this was convicting to me yesterday, because I don't always, sometimes I say things and I'm like, oh, Kim, you really shouldn't have said that. And, you know, you can delete a post on social media, but obviously people have time to screenshot it. But we're live on air for 4 hours. I say things where I get off the air and I'm like, you know, Kim, you probably could have phrased that a little bit differently. And I don't lose sleep over it because there's grace, but I'm just making the comment.
Right.
Like, I'm really trying to think about the way that I respond to people and how to be effective when I'm having a disagreement with somebody about a particular topic like abortion or gay marriage or whatever the case may be.
That's a good point. On the abortion issue, you can always just ask them a simple question. Does not a matter getting mad. What's your number? They'll think you're talking about the Sleep Number commercial on TV. And then when they come back at you, well, what do you mean? Well, how many children deaths a year are okay with you? 60,000? 600,000? What's your number?
Have you ever asked someone that?
Sure.
And what do they say?
But that's not the issue here. Well, that's the only issue here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about your selfish self-interest in regretting what you did the other night and suddenly you've ended up creating a life. That's not what this is about. It's about the murder of children. So what's your number? And that just, generally speaking, enrages them because they realize they have no answer. There's no argument to that.
Yeah. I mean, that was...
There's no argument to that.
That's when the guy got frustrated with me with the IP stuff with abortion, was when he said, you can't get any care if you have a miscarriage in Missouri because of this. I said, that is...
That's a lie.
False. That is absolutely inaccurate. And he... No, it is. It's true. I mean, that really upset him. And it's because I knew my facts.
Well,
so
go back
that does help to your point, Mark.
Yeah. And if you have questions, Missouri Right to Life's got some great arguments on this as well. And we did a great interview with them last week. You can go back and look for it on the podcast. Along with the phone number where you can call and report people if you see them out trying to collect signatures.
Did you already... I'm sorry, I just blanked out there. Did you already say something about if you signed it and you inadvertently did it, or they tricked you basically that you can get your name off
you
the petition?
You can, and there's information on there to do that
as
well.
Yep.
I don't know who would do that. Like if they just lied to you and said, do you support clean air, and they handed you something and you signed it. I mean, without reading it,
I
that would be kind of dumb.
I would not put it past some of these people out there who were trying to get these signatures. I would not put it past them.
Me neither. All right. Good food for thought there, Kim. Thank you. I mentioned coming up, we'll get to Hans von Spakovsky about 6:20. I'm anxious to get his take on the criminal trial for President Trump that starts today up in New York City. They start jury selection this morning. The president will be in court 4 days a week for the foreseeable future. It's unbelievable. We'll get to Hans at 6:20. We'll be right back.
The world has changed because of what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right. The fact of the matter is, there's a lot at stake in this election.
Joe Biden in 2020 talking about Donald Trump is going to get us into a war with Iran. Because Donald Trump didn't pay off Iran and backed out of the stupid treaty that's going to give them a nuclear weapon anyway. And that was the message that he lied to the American people about, Joe Biden in 2020. Who's on the verge of a war with Iran today? Joe Biden. Primarily because he has paid off and appeased the Iranians. He's given them millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, that they've turned around and used to attack one of our key allies in the Middle East. They've given money to terrorists. They support Hamas. They support the Houthis. All of this, everything they've told you was a lie. And we would not be having these problems in the Middle East right now if Donald Trump had remained at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So now you just need to pray that he gets reelected before this thing gets out of hand. The people in Iran have no tolerance for weakness. They just don't. And if you want a further piece of good news, this is the press release from one Cori Bush, first congressional district congresswoman, chewing out anybody that supports Gaza And deeply concerned she is about the Iranian military's attack on Israel. She condemns these attacks, which threaten civilian lives. But she wants you to point out that she's also encouraged that President Biden is advising Netanyahu not to counterattack Iran. She wants you to know that she does not want Israel to fight back here. And she also needs them to stop fighting the terrorists across the street in Gaza, because we need an end to that as well. She refers to Benjamin Netanyahu as maniacal and genocidal. So Cori Bush is now firmly in the camp of people who hate the United States and won't support her allies. Hates Israel. Of course, she's a member of the squad, so that's not a surprise.
Did she just have some sort of fundraising event in St. Louis over the weekend? I thought I saw that somewhere.
Oh, I don't know. She might have.
Trying to find it.
She needs to raise some money because she's going to get her butt handed to her by Wesley Bell.
You think?
I suspect.
That would be very interesting, and I would support that.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. There's some new polling out in the Senate 15 Senate race, Senate District 15, Andrew Koenig's seat that he will be giving up here at the end of this session. I'll give you some details on that next hour. We'll talk to Hans von Spakovsky, and we will get to In Other News with Ethan about 6:45. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.